This morning, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Zechariah, and that's a hard book to find, so go to Matthew, and then go back toward the front of the Bible, two books. So it's Matthew, Malachi, Zechariah, and we're going to look at chapter 1. Now, this book really consists of 10 visions that the prophet Zechariah had, and we're only going to look at a part of the visions. And want to share some things with you today about what I believe America needs, what I believe America needs in 2020. Shall we pray together? Dear Lord, take your word this morning and speak to our hearts. I pray that you would use it to encourage, and yes, to challenge and to convict. Lord, there are needy people here today. I don't know their needs, but you do. And I pray that those needs will be met because you meet them through your word. Encourage us and bless us today. And Lord, we pray for Pastor. We pray that you would give healing. We realize doctors can cut and sew and all those things, but they cannot heal. And the healing has to come from you. And we do pray that you'd give Pastor McAvoy the healing that he needs. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In Zechariah chapter 1, we're going to start reading in verse 18. Then lifted I up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, What be these? And he answered, These are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. And then said I, What come these to do? And he spake, saying, These are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. In the vision described in this chapter, the prophet first of all saw these four terrible horns. Now they were pushing this way and that way. They were dashing down the strongest, the mightiest. Nothing, no one could stand in their path. And the prophet asked the question, What are these? And the answer comes back, these are the horns which have scattered Israel. And I believe in these horns, he saw a representation of the powers that have oppressed the church of God and the work of God. And I believe that continues even to today. Today, we see churches enduring unprecedented attacks. I point out California as an example of that, but that's occurring all across the United States. I have a niece, and I have a family still in Michigan, and they were not allowed to have a funeral because of COVID, and then they delayed having a memorial service, and they came right up to memorial service time, and the state again put more regulations down on them to even have a memorial service. So we're seeing this, these attacks, and these are just a brief example of attacks. But the church is attacked from within, the church is attacked in the courts, the church is attacked in high places, and yes, I believe the church is attacked from the very pit of hell. No wonder the prophet felt dismayed. But all of a sudden, there appears before him four carpenters. And once again, he asked the question, What shall these do? And the answer came back, These are come to fray them, or they are come to destroy the destroyer. Now, no matter how dark the hour may be, no matter what attacks may be, we must remember that God will always find men for his work. And I believe God finds those men in three different ways. First of all, God will always find them at the right time. You notice the prophet did not see the carpenters first. There was nothing for them to do. First the horns and then the carpenters. God is never late for an appointment. He is always on time. The Bible says, But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that run the law. At the very precise moment in history, God sent Jesus Christ from heaven's glory to this sin-cursed earth to die on a Roman cross, be buried and rose again, that we might have eternal life. God is never late for an appointment. It kind of reminds you of a story out of our Revolutionary War. And our boys were fighting in Springfield, Massachusetts, and they were fighting outside a church. And quite frankly, the battle was not going real well. And then it took a decided turn for the worse because they ran out of wadding. Now I have a question. I know I'm out in the country here, 2 miles off the highway. Okay, how many black powder hunters do I have in the crowd today? Well, we got one. Oh, a couple of them. All right, great. Well, you men don't need an explanation, but probably the rest do. What in the world is wadding? It sounds like something that the Dukes of Hazzard would have chucked in their cheek. No, that's not what it is. That's not what I'm talking about. It's not a chaw of tobacco. It's a piece of paper. And if you have a muzzle-loading weapon, it is one of the required elements to make it fire. And to fire a muzzle-loading weapon, the first thing you have to do, you have to load it, you put in the powder. Then after the powder, you put in the shot, the projectile, whatever you're going to fire out of that. And the last thing you have to have is a piece of wadding, because if you do not, as you would lower the weapon ready to fire, all of a sudden you'd hear a strange sound. It goes like this, deedle 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 dee, boing. The bullet rolls out the end of the barrel and does absolutely no good. The wadding holds it in place until the powder is ignited and the projectile is shot out of the barrel of the gun. They ran out of wadding. The weapons were basically useless. Pastor Caldwell was their chaplain and was there in the battle, and he was staying outside the church, and he went into the church. He got the hymn books. He tore the pages out of the hymn books and gave them the pages to the soldiers and said, use these for wadding. And then to encourage them, he stood in the door of the church and shouted, give them Watts, boys, give them Watts, because they were the Isaac Watts hymnals of the day. And God gave them the victory. They were outnumbered. They were outnumbered, but they won that battle because of God's timing. The second thing we find is that God will always find enough men. You'll notice in this story here this morning, in the vision this morning, that God did not find one carpenter. Why? Because there were four horns. He did not find two carpenters. Why? There were four horns. Did not find three carpenters. There were four. He found four carpenters. God will always find the men that are needed and the number of men that are needed. You think back again to the founding of our country. Here we had less than 3 million citizens. Think about this. 3 million citizens. We have many cities, well over that number of citizens, but that's all there were in the whole country, huddled between the Atlantic Ocean and the Blue Ridge Mountains. That was our nation. And yet, out of 3 million citizens, God gave us 56 men who put together our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. 56 men who were willing to pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. And remember, these 56 men believed they would give their lives. They knew if they lost this war, they would be executed as traitors of the British Empire. They knew this. There was no question, there was no if, ands, or buts. They would be traitors and they would be executed for that. Yet they were willing to pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. My question to you today is, what are we willing to do? Today we have over 350 million. What are we willing to do to turn our country back to God's word and God's way and God's plan? I do not believe that God raised this country up for just a few years. I believe God raised this country up to help spread the gospel. Look at the map back. Well, you can't see it, but I can. I can see the map back there. Look at the countries in the world that have been touched by our nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was one of the reasons I believe God brought this nation into existence, was the impact it would have in taking the gospel to a lost and dying world. But what are we willing to pay to bring these bring our country back to those founding principles. We need that, and we must have that. And if the children that I see seated here this morning are going to grow up in the America that I grew up in, and the America that you as an adult grew up in, there has to be some changes made, and we have to get back to the first principles on which our country was founded. And then the third thing that we find is God will always find the right men. Now, God was not looking for orators to speak when he called these four carpenters. He didn't need somebody to get up and pontificate and to preach. And no, that wasn't what he was after. He wasn't after a preacher. He wasn't after an author to write. And writing is important, and preaching is important. But it was not what was needed at this time. We need good books. We need men who can write their thoughts down and share them with us. And thank God for those men all those years ago who wrote that Declaration of Independence, who put together that Constitution that has worked for us in our country for all these years. Thank God for those men who could write and could put these things down. Would be to God we had men today who would look at those and realize what they really were saying at that time. Those freedoms that were given to us, like the First Amendment, giving us the right to be here today and to worship as we believe God would have us worship. We have that right because of our Constitution. I remember different times down at the legislature as I was working there as a lobbyist on your behalf, as a watchdog, I preferred the term, as your behalf. I can remember legislators and newspaper reporters and so on chiding me over my hiding behind the First Amendment, talking about the First Amendment. And finally, I reminded some of the newspaper men, I said, if it were not for the First Amendment, you wouldn't have the right. You wouldn't have the right. And to radio announcers and TV announcers, you wouldn't have the right. That is all tied in together. The right that we have as a church is tied into the right that you have to broadcast, you have to write, and so on. So we talked about those things, and I thank God. So we need those to write. He did not need architects to design. What he needed was carpenters. You say, what in the world would a carpenter do against a set of horns? Well, I think we have to understand what kind of carpenter he was looking for. God was not looking for a cabinet maker. God was not looking for a trim carpenter. God was not looking for a finished carpenter. He was looking for a rough carpenter. Now, I know something about rough carpentry, not because I would do it, although if any carpentry I did, it would be rough. But anyway, my dad was a carpenter, but my dad was not a cabinet maker. You didn't ask my dad to build you some kitchen cabinets with all the fine grain on it and all the beautiful finishes on it and all that. No, that was not my dad's forte. You didn't ask my dad to build you a pulpit because it wouldn't turn out like this one. Nice finish on it and everything and decorative stuff on the front and the sides and all that. That's beautiful. My dad didn't make that. And you certainly didn't want my dad to make you the pews you sat on. Because if you had a pulpit that my dad made, you get splinters in your hands. If you had a pew my dad made, you get splinters elsewhere. Anyway, you get the picture. You didn't want him to do that. But you know what? My dad was a rough carpenter. He was the man who did the framing. He was the man who did the stuff you don't see. You know, you don't see what's behind this nice plaster here, or even this fine wood in the back. You don't see what's back there, but you tear this plaster off and look at that stuff. Some of it was the wood that was used to make the forms for the pouring the concrete, and it still got cement on the sides of it. Some of it's got knots in it. Well, some of the knots are pretty, aren't they? And it just, you know, it's not pretty wood. It's not pretty wood. It's there for its strength, not for its beauty. It's what holds the roof up. It's what holds the building up. Without that, the building would collapse. That's what my dad did. My dad said he never saw a 2x4 that didn't fit. If it wasn't right where he wanted it, you know what he did? He went to the trunk of his car. He got out an 8-pound sledgehammer. He walked up beside that 2x4 and he said, you get in place. Clonk, clonk, clonk. He got in place. And that's the kind of carpenter that God was looking for here. Carpenters with 8-pound sledges in the trunks of their car to take care of those horns. And take care of those horns they did. And once again, we see at the beginning of our nation that God gave us men, not with 8-pound sledges in their trunks of their car. They didn't have cars, did they? Or even 8-pound sledge hanging on the side of their saddle. No, God gave us men that we needed. I think of George Washington, our first president, the man we call founder of our country. And by the way, and I know I'm digressing here a bit, don't you believe all the hogwash you hear about George Washington? Don't believe all the hogwash you hear about Robert E. Lee. I'm going to say it. Listen, these men were men of God. And some of these men had clear testimonies of their salvation through Jesus Christ. You cannot impose our standards today on what happened 250 years ago. You cannot do that. And that's what some people are trying to do, and then they're twisting the facts. They don't want the facts out. And they're twisting the facts, and they're trying to make heels out of heroes. And don't let them do it. Get you some good history books and read them. And I won't digress further because I could, but I'm not going to. George Washington was a surveyor. That's how he earned his living as a young man. And eventually he got into the military. And of course, his first military experience was, of course, under the British military. And one day they were on their way to Fort Duquesne. Today we call it Pittsburgh. And this was during the French and Indian War. And by the way, the French were not fighting the Indians. The French and the Indians were fighting the British, just to get that straight in case you have the wrong picture there. But anyway, we're on our way to, and Washington had been in the hinterland, and he knew how you fight Indians, and he knew what to do, but General Braddock was the man in charge. And George Washington came to General Braddock, and he said, "General Braddock, this is not the way you fight Indians." Because they were marching toward Pittsburgh in the typical European fashion. The drums, the fifes, the brightly colored uniforms, all marching in columns, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know how that goes. And they're marching down through there, and Washington went to Braddock and said, "That's not the way you do it." And Braddock said, "You're just a peon." He said, "I'm in charge here. Fall in line." So Washington fell in line. And sure enough, what Washington knew would happen did happen. The Indians ambushed Braddock. Braddock was killed, and many of his soldiers were killed. Finally, there was nobody left to lead the troops except Washington. Washington came out of that battle, that massacre, with 2 horses shot out from under him, and 4 bullets had passed through his garments, yet he himself was untouched. Don't tell me God didn't protect Washington to become our first president. Washington wrote to his mother about that incident and said Providence had protected him. Now, that's a funny term. We don't use that today. But in that time, that meant God had protected him. He gave praise and glory to God, and God gave us George Washington as our first president and set many of the precedents for president that are even followed even yet today. Then how about Thomas Jefferson, who gave us our Declaration of Independence? And then we have James Madison, who gave us our Constitution, and Patrick Henry, who was the trumpet of the Revolution. And then, of course, we come to Thomas Nelson, who was the financier of the Revolution. An interesting man himself. Thomas Nelson was a merchant down in Yorktown. If you've been to his house still standing down there in Yorktown. If you haven't been, you ought to go just to see it. It's a beautiful home there. And when Cornwallis came up from North Carolina during the Revolutionary War, he took his residence in the nicest house in Yorktown, which was Thomas Nelson's home. And Washington now and Rochambeau have moved in. They've surrounded Yorktown. They have Cornwallis trapped there, which is going to be really the end of the Revolutionary War. The French fleet has come up the Chesapeake Bay. They have blocked the only route of escape that Cornwallis has. And what are they going to do? Washington is going to use artillery fire to blast the town into submission. And what is Nelson going to do? Nelson said, Cornwallis has used my house. He said, aim your guns at it. If you go to that house today, there's a cannonball on the side of it from the Revolutionary War. He was willing to sacrifice the house. Now, he did not have to, but he was willing to. And he actually borrowed over $200,000 to help pay the troops because the government didn't have the money to pay the troops. And he paid that money off personally. This is the kind of men that God gave us. And you know, today, I believe the Lord knows where his servants are. And I believe he has a multitude of mighty men. And my question to you today is, what are you willing to do? What are you willing to do to turn our country back to God's word, God's will, and God's way? It's up to us. It's up to us. We can't pass it on to others. We must do it ourselves. And let's pray that we will be faithful to Christ and that he will raise up many who will give us back our country that is based upon the word of God, the work of God, the will of God. Would you be one who would be willing to face the evil and encourage the good?